All right, this is Brad Witter from Brave the Woods. You're listening to Master of One podcast, and you can find us at bravethewoods.com and artistforeducation.com.
Welcome to another Sandbox episode of the Master of One podcast. This week, we talk to illustrator Ben Brick. I'm Andrew, your Master of Art and Design.
I'm Patrick, your Master of Television and Film.
And I'm Luke, your Master of Toys and Games.
So get your white t-shirts and Wrangler jeans on, because it's time to get classic.
I rolled some smokes up in my sleeve.
Episode, we're excited to talk to somebody whose work we talked about on the show. We've gotten to know him just recently. He is from North Dakota and a former Magic Kingdom custodian. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome illustrator Ben Brick to the show.
Yes.
Thank you guys so much for having me. This is like a big deal for me.
Sorry.
You'll get over that real quick.
I'm sorry.
Wait, so I have to real quick dispel a rumor before Andrew asks his first question.
Well, the
thing we know is coming. Anyway, I thought that custodians weren't allowed to like take out trash when there were like a lot of people around.
Oh no, we have to take trash out when everybody's around. So the big deal is that there's doors everywhere. It's like a, I don't know. There's like holes and doors, and you barely see the people taking the trash out, but you can see them. There's like big carts that you have to put the trash cans in. And I don't know if I can be saying all this, but,
well, you're no longer employed by the mouse. So I think you're
there
fine.
There you go. But yeah, there's some Disney magic that happens with those doors.
He course corrected just there. Did you see that?
Yeah,
he's
like,
yeah, here's this and this. Oh, wait a minute. And then
Disney magic
happens. Some pixie dust just flies in and all the trash gets absorbed into the atmosphere.
That's what they call Lysol, is pixie dust.
Okay, so before we dive into your background and all of that, because we have several questions. You started to tell a story, actually, before we started recording, and we're like, stop! We want to hear that on air. So, before we get to all that, give us the quick Wikipedia page about you. Tell us who you are, the work you do, and what got you into that.
Sure. Well, my name is Ben Brick, and I'm an illustrator from a hustle and bustle town of Bismarck, North Dakota. But actually, if you look at Bismarck on a map, it's like just a bunch of Germans and Norwegians. So I don't know if I really fit in North Dakota. And so I actually took a 6-month period where I went down to Disney World and worked in the Magic Kingdom as a custodian, like it was said. And down there, I kind of realized that I really wanted to do something with my life, like just being surrounded by all this graphic design and awesome just creativity. It was so different for me. So I decided I need to go to college. And so I went back to Bismarck, North Dakota, and went to college for graphic design and illustration. And now I live right next to the Missouri River, where I work from home. And I have like the best life ever, because I can like sit with my wife and my wife and son. They like play while I work.
Yeah,
but they get to do the fun stuff.
That's a good life,
actually,
man.
Actually, I would. Yeah. I'm very blessed.
That's not a bad gig if you can get it, right?
Yeah, it's awesome.
So you said that you're working from home. Are you working for a company, an agency, or are you full-on freelance? Like, what's the...
Yeah, so I'm a full... I own an illustration business, I would say, and I don't have any employees. It's just me, but I had to be professional and call it a business.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, for tax purposes, that absolutely makes sense.
Yeah.
So looking at your style, looking at what you do, there's something that I can take away like instantly. So actually, before we even get to that, you might remember me talking about Ben about a month ago, month and a half ago, right at the beginning of the whole Quickie Mickey movement.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That Jared Moriyama kind of set into motion and is now like ridiculous. It's still going. Like the thing is still blowing up. It's crazy. But very early on, Ben and I were able to participate in this thing, and he did this Mickey. Well, actually, why don't you just describe your Mickey that you added into the mix and talk to us about why and what and all that stuff, and then I'll tell the rest of that story.
Sure. Well, I got nominated for it, and I was kind of like, this is a weird name for a movement, but
I'm glad I'm not the only one. Go ahead.
But I was super excited to get to draw an old, like old style Mickey. That's just a really cool style that you know doesn't really happen as much anymore. And the biggest thing that I was thinking about was what if eventually the world is going to be taken over by some company, and wouldn't it be great if Disney just bought everything? Yeah. I think
that's that happening.
Yeah, like is this a
we're not far this, off.
Yeah. I feel like we're living that reality right now.
Yeah. So basically I just merged Mickey with the Monopoly guy.
Yeah.
I love it. And so you posted this on the Quickie Mickey hashtag, and of course I was following it and loved it the second you posted it, because it's got this real handmade look to it, which we'll get to with you. That's kind of part of your gig. That's your whole deal. This kind of handmade look to it. It's got like the true retro animation look to it, with kind of what do they call it? They call it like spaghetti arms or like the wiggle, whatever.
Rubber hose animation.
Yeah. So it's got that look to it. And it's got the very simple, like three color, and one of the colors is the paper kind of elements to it. But the action scene in it and the characterization in it is just beautiful. So I commented on it. We talked back and forth. You sent me a print of it, and I love it so much. It's so good. You did a great job on the print. You can't buy this, though, because you are a very good ex-employee. Let me tell you this. So if Disney is listening to this, you're great at it, because you would not sell this to me. You would take $0 for it. You sent it to me as a gift, because as everyone knows, you can't take money for something that is not your IP. So there congratulations.
You know, I love that the illustration has all the hallmarks of being sinister. I mean, when you have a monocle and you have a cigar and a poor-fitting mustache. Yes, yep. And then a money bag. Mm. It is like as sinister of like a combination of elements you can have. And yet Mickey seems so happy.
He's the one with the money. Like, that absolutely makes sense. So anyway, all right, so jumping away from that, you sent me that. I love it. It's great. And that was how I got first introduced to your work. But since then, I've been following you and following your Instagram. And you you have this style is maybe too overused of a word, but that's probably the best way for us to start in this conversation. A very unique style and way about your work. And you started to tell us a little bit about that, but why don't you tell everybody what your approach to art is and why you call yourself an illustrator as opposed to a designer and all that stuff?
Sure. And so take this with a grain of salt, because like I don't know everything. But when I was going through graphic design school, the first thing we learned was how to kind of draw with using the computer as a tool, right? And Illustrator allows you to just make these perfect circles and these perfect squares. And I think it's becoming really easy to make perfect work. And even the lines that come out of there, it's just so crisp. And I believe that it kind of leaves the works a little sterile. Mm. And now this is... there are a lot of companies that need that look, and I don't want to say that you can't design with using those shapes, because that's an important thing to be able to do. But I thought that I really wanted to bring back that human aspect into design, and I guess I was looking through these old Boys Life magazines from like the 1950s. Mm. I don't know if you have ever looked at those, but like all the ads in the 1950s were hand drawn. They didn't have a lot of, or actually it's probably super expensive to get photographs of things. And and now it's kind of the reverse. It's way more expensive to get a hand drawn advertisement as opposed to getting a photo for your ad. So I guess my biggest goal was to try to bring back that old style, and give the area some variety with advertisement.
You know, it's interesting because I hadn't thought about it that way on the design side. You know, on the music side, for those that don't know, when you're recording something in the studio, something that's, you know, rhythmic, you do something at one point, it's called quantizing a track, and you actually slide all of these beats onto their corresponding like quarter note, eighth note, whatever it is. But you don't leave it there, because if everything fell perfectly on that note, it sounds too much like a computer did it. And so what you'll do is you'll actually, using a computer program, you can actually add what is in kind of design terms like jitter. It'll actually slightly bump these notes just off of the quarter, just off the eighth, because that gives it a more natural feel. Like if a hi-hat is just perfect, that's fine for like a hi-hat and rap music, but it doesn't work when you're in other genres, like in some type of like rock or alternative or something like that. And so you want to have imperfections because that makes the music feel lively. And so I like the idea of also applying that to design of, you want your design to feel lively. You want to feel like it has personality, has energy. It's not just obviously a computer did it. Now on that note, you said that that made you drawn to these like 50s or whatever, like style illustrations. Are there any thoughts in your mind of trying to do kind of more modern looking typesets or modern looking pieces with that kind of hand drawn aesthetic? Or at this point, are you pretty locked into this more retro feel?
Yeah, that's a really good question, because I don't like kind of being I don't want to be a one trick pony. I don't know any other words of saying it, I guess. And so it's a really good thing to think about for sure. Are you kind of thinking like utilizing the shape tools to build something and then make it look less crisp? Is that kind of what you're asking?
It could be that way. It just, so like if I go through and look at your illustration, then I have a limited vocabulary. So all I kind of think is retro, you know, when I see like the Greetings from North Dakota, or I see like the Marlboro, like quick sketch that you did, or I see like Quickie Mickey, like to me, these have a, you know, a feel that is decades old.
Okay.
And so then my question is, in doing the hand-drawn look, or in like the hand-drawn whatever, does that just give it a retro feel, or can you say, I want to use a modern typeface, I want to use this modern layout, this modern whatever, and apply the hand-drawn aesthetic to that?
Okay, I see what you're saying. I've tried that a lot of times, and I fail every time. It never looks good, and maybe it's subjective, and maybe I'm being too hard on myself, but I've never turned out a piece that I'm using like more modern fonts on overlaying on my drawings, and I liked it. So it could just be like my aesthetics. I don't know.
Sure. Just what you're naturally drawn to.
Right. Well, but I'll definitely give it more thought.
Well, no, I think so. That whole topic kind of sends me down this rabbit trail in my mind. When I look at your work, where it takes me emotionally, right? Where it brings me to a place mentally, to a time period, to even a sensibility. And I think this goes back to your love of your hometown, right? So a lot of people that we talk to, and just a lot of people in general, are looking to get out of the small town of North Dakota or Iowa or fill in the blank small town, and they're trying to make it big somewhere in LA or in New York or at Disney, like in Florida, like these kinds of things. And a lot of people would maybe look at your story and say, oh, you got out and you started working at Disney World. But then you went back. And I think beyond the idea that you went back so that you could achieve something, there is a very real sense that you are passionate about where you're from. Mm-hmm. Where does that come from?
Man, North Dakota is just one of the coolest places to live. And so the worst part about North Dakota is obvious. It's the snow. Like, yep. It gets cold up here and you have to shovel, right? A lot. Yeah. But there's so many nice people up here. And like my area specifically is kind of in this like Renaissance period where there's a lot of really cool things happening. And it's also really easy to kind of make a difference when you're in a smaller place. And I think that's probably the most important thing is I can make something, I can make some bit of change here relatively very easy. So I just really enjoy the smaller towns. Yeah. I don't know.
Do you think?
Go ahead, Patrick.
Sorry. Yeah. I right now you have my mind turning right now, Ben. This is what it sounds like when my mind is turning.
Nothing.
It's just blank.
Just heavy breathing into a microphone.
But it seems like your aesthetic would make a lot of sense for where you are. But does it ever get to you that your style is very much in vogue right now? Because it seems like you don't necessarily want to. In fact, you don't want to follow what everyone else is doing. I mean, you said that you felt things were too clean. You wanted to be more raw and realistic, you know, or you earlier before we started recording, you mentioned you didn't want to be called a graphic designer because that was too common. You wanted to be an illustrator, you know, at the time you made that decision. And so does it ever get to you like that your style is too cool for right now? Is that a thought that ever goes through your mind?
I don't know. I really believe that, so when you think back into the 1950s, like people were wearing jeans and a t-shirt, right? And you could go all the way up till now and you could see jeans and a t-shirt in every decade. It might not be like the cool thing that's happening. Like maybe people are like, no, you have to have this, what are those? Track suits, those like onesie track suits.
Yeah, I think that's what they're called.
Romper?
Leisure suits.
Yeah.
Like, maybe, oh, you don't have a leisure suit, you're a loser. But like, I think it's really important to look at design as it needs to last through a lot of decades. And my only example for something like that does that is the classic design from like between the 30s and the 60s. I think that's like this sweet spot of design and that remains classic. But I do agree with you that it is in vogue right now. It's very popular. And I love it because I'm getting a lot of work because of that.
Right.
But I don't see myself changing if it starts going to back to like monoline design or something like that.
Right.
I just don't have any interest in doing like a monoline. My dad always tells me that I like to do things the hard way. And I believe that this is definitely the hard way of doing design. Like I spend way too much time on every piece. But I just absolutely love that. Almost like nobody else around here, at least, is crazy enough to put in that many hours on something that sure. small. So
you wear it as a badge of honor.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I think that's really intriguing to me about you. And it's not even that you just want to be different. It's just that you want to do the thing that you do. Right now, the thing that you do is very, very popular. It's very much on trend. But what you're saying is, once the trend shifts to something else, you're okay with becoming more of a niche illustrator. Like people who come to you because you do this specific style or this approach, and you're okay kind of cornering the market to that a little bit. I think that's admirable, at least. Maybe it's crazy, but it's at least something to be noted.
Yeah. I could see, like, the way that I present my work could be differently, or could be different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, that's the word. 'cause what I do is I do make vectors of a lot of my work, and then I'll put it back into Photoshop, and I'll use textures and brushes to make it look like it's used. And,
yeah, right.
And I use tools from like True Grit and Retro Supply. So big thank you to those guys.
Oh yeah.
And so I could see maybe that, you know, in the future, maybe the presentation of the work maybe changes a little.
So let me take us here, or keep us here for just a second before we move on to other things. One of the elements that I noticed on your website that you do that really highlights your love of North Dakota, you're doing this postcard project.
Yeah.
Why don't you tell everybody about what the postcard project is, how they can get involved in it, and what, you know, where this idea came from and all that.
So the idea is very new. Basically I was walking around the mall, and I was looking for a good postcard in the mall, and you know, you would not believe these crazy, they're just terrible postcards. I haven't found any good ones for North Dakota.
What does a mall look like where you are? I'm just imagining a bunch of small, lean-tos in the woods. That are loosely organized around a campfire.
So weird.
Oh, man.
I've never been to North Dakota.
With bison in the back, yeah.
With just moose.
Our mall is small. But in the winter, like, that's the only place to... Well, it's not the only place to exercise. But old people like to walk the mall. So I think we probably have a bigger mall than you're thinking. But it's one floor, and it's relatively small.
Okay. But no, okay, that's fine. It's cleared up. You don't live in the middle of the woods. You do.
We have an H&M, I believe, and we
Holy
have some cool
cow.
Stuff. I don't know.
Like, and you have bad postcards.
And they bad postcards. Bad. Yeah,
they all have bad postcards. So I'm kind of on this mission to like at least do postcards the way I want them to be. And honestly, I would love collaborators from different states maybe to start doing postcards that are illustrated, and something that could make the smaller towns proud to be where they're from. Mm. And other than that, I put them on sale for the first week or two that I'm pre-ordering the postcards. So if you're interested in that, they're kind of you get them. There's like this early bird pricing thing. But other than that,
what areas have you done? Because I actually haven't seen these. So like, what's an example of like one of the towns or the states or whatever that you've done? I'm assuming in North Dakota.
Well, yeah. So I did a North Dakota one. And that's like this bison that's mounting the globe with like a little oil pump underneath him, and he's smoking a pipe. So I don't know what that stands for North Dakota. It doesn't probably stand. The oil makes sense, but other than that, I don't know. And then I did another one. So we are like,
I haven't seen this card, but mounting something with oil,
Patrick,
just really gave me a mental
Patrick,
image.
I'm dropping a link into our thing right now, so you can look at it while he talks.
Sorry, go ahead, Ben.
No, that's fine. And then I'm working on number three, but the second one, we are like, as a state, we are completely obsessed with Theodore Roosevelt. And bison and a lot of other things. But so everybody, when we're talking about doing a North Dakota thing, everybody wants you to do a bison. Everybody wants you to do a Theodore Roosevelt. So I kind of did this thing. And another thing before I get into it, our state's like tagline is North Dakota legendary. And I'm not sure where that came from. But But so I basically made this second postcard with Theodore Roosevelt. And he is technically like a centaur, but he's like part bison and himself. And he's chasing a jackalope through the wild plains. He's very regal.
You know what's funny? I've seen this. It's the Rough Riders one you have on pre-sale right now. And I was looking at it, loved the illustration. It definitely has an old, like a Red Ryder BB gun ad, like old vintage, you know, a classic ad from like a newspaper, from like a magazine. But I didn't notice that he was a centaur. I thought he was just riding a horse. Like I didn't even pick up on that.
Yeah. So I don't know. I'm working on getting some more that more people would, because that's very specific. Like that's a very specific humor that not everybody understands. So I'm working on a couple that are going to make sense for a broader audience. That was just what was on my mind that day, and I had to get it out of my head. So
when you said that you're looking for some collaborators, there's going to be people listening here who see what you're doing and would love to be a part of it, because that's just what our community is, right? So when you're looking for collaborators, what are you looking for? Are you looking for people to join your quest and pursuit of creating handmade or hand-drawn or whatever fun, cool, classic-looking postcards for their hometown or for North Dakota specifically?
Yes, North Dakota. No, absolutely not. I think it would be really cool to get, you know, and it doesn't even necessarily have to be handmade, but I think getting away from photography a little bit to focus on creating something out of nothing. I think that's so cool when people, because you just get, you know, you get results that nobody else can do, or you get results that photography definitely can't do when you're creating something out of nothing. So I think definitely getting people to
like a Teddy Roosevelt centaur.
Yeah. Yeah. So getting people to do them of their hometown or their home state is really cool. I think, you know, I'm open to anything. I haven't thought about the collaboration, but I would definitely be open to talking to anybody about it.
Cool. Well, we'll make sure it's all in the show notes. And later on, we'll talk about how people can get in touch with you. And I'm sure there are people listening here going, ooh, that's me. I would love to be a part of that. So I
want to talk a little bit about this Tales of the Grove. It sounds like a really cool idea. Where did it come from, and maybe just what is it?
Yeah. So you guys know who Jake Parker is?
Yeah.
We do.
Absolutely.
Perfect. Okay. So he does Inktober every year. And I started the first year, I just kind of was like, I want to be a part of this. And I was drawing just like the most random things, and nothing made a lot of sense. I was just trying to keep up. And the next year I was like, well, I want to do something. I want to do it the hard way. Right. So I decided I was going to make a whole book I wrote the book in September. So I did cheat. But I did all the illustrations and the design in October and had it for sale before Christmas. I think that first one I did.
Nice.
That was insane. That was before I had a kid, though. So.
Yeah. Yep.
And
timelines
so,
get pushed back a little bit.
Yeah. And so then the next one after that, I was much slower on the second one. And in my opinion, the quality went down on the second one. And then the third
year...
Well,
don't tell people that.
Yeah, I know,
he's
right?
He's wrong.
I think the illustrations are way better. But I think, you know, it's just, it's hard to write a story in a month. Mm. So, well, for me anyway.
I've never done it.
Oh. Yeah.
Yeah, and he's had like 40 years at this point.
Oh, nice.
Easily 40.
You gotta try it. At least
40 story writing years.
Yeah. That probably means you got a real mean story in there somewhere.
It was.
It's definitely mean.
Definitely mean.
Can you tell from his face? It's a mean story, for sure.
I don't know. So the third year, I was just like, I can't do this to my family again. Mm. So I decided to do something a little easier the third year. But
so we can't expect a third installment of this?
There will be a third one. It's just I'm going to take a lot longer than a month.
Sure.
And I'm going to do it right the third time.
I'm looking forward to getting these. I'm going to order them because they look insanely cool. So you illustrate them and then you actually produce them into a not hardbound book, but into a like a trade paperback type book.
Yeah, so they're kind of small. They're 9 by something. They're tinier than a comic.
That's cool.
And the first one is written like it's kind of in this like kids book style. So it's very little amount of text.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second one kind of jumps into more of like a comic book style. there again, I was working so quickly I forgot about consistency, but whatever. I think they're fun. They're scary tales about kids in the woods.
Mm.
And I'm really excited for the third and even the fourth one because I've learned a lot from the first two.
Sure.
Man, I'm really excited for them as well. All right, so we're going to shift to our final questions because we want to be aware of your time. We want to keep this bite-sized for everybody. I'll just go ahead and jump in with mine. I was watching that you have a video that you're featured in that you have on your website that was really well done, by the way. So whoever the team, you feature the team and everything on there. So go to Ben's site and you'll see this video that I'm talking about. But in that video, you say something that instantly connects me to you. On like a very core, deep level, you talked about how when you were growing up, there was a cartoon that you would have on and you wouldn't even watch it. You would just sit there and just draw the characters from the cartoon the whole time that it was on. And it was Ninja Turtles.
Yes.
What is it about that helped spur or that was the catalyst or that was the first spark, whatever it is you want to say. How was that the origin story for you? What did that do to you as a kid?
I think they were just so, like, they're so intriguing. They're like an adult probably doesn't get it, but a kid just understands, like, yeah, Ninja Turtles, turtles that are fast, strong, and very skilled. Yeah, I get it. That's really cool. I don't know. My parents didn't really care what I watched, I don't think. And like there were things like Sesame Street and all that. But my dad was like, yeah, Ninja Turtles is right for you for sure. But I think the reason the memory is so clear, if you can see right where I'm pointing right now, this is tough for the audience listening, but I have a picture. This is the only picture I have from when I was 5. And probably till I was like 15 or 16. So I have this one drawing of Michelangelo, who's obviously my favorite.
Naturally.
And my dad gave it to me like 2 or 3 years ago, just out of the blue. He's like, I found this in my safe. And I almost teared up a little bit because I thought all my artwork was gone. And so it's just nice to look at that little piece and realize, you know, it just takes a little bit of work to get better. Like that's a pretty extreme thing from when you're 5 to when you're like 30, but there's a definite
compare and contrast for sure.
Andrew, how old is yours? How old was your turtle when you drew it?
So I was gonna tell him this off air, but I have my mom did the same thing for me of Michelangelo. When this is done, while we're kind of wrapping things up, I'll grab it and I'll show you. But I was 3 when I drew it, and I have it in my studio as well.
Oh my goodness!
That's what I'm saying. Like when I saw that, I instantly connected with you and was like, oh, this guy's. He's my spirit animal. So.
Oh wow, we are best friends.
I know, right? You just, anytime you need to get away from the cold, head on down to San Antonio. It is never cold here, so we're the antithesis of each other in terms of states. But yeah,
I might get lazy without all the shoveling, though. That I don't know.
And that's we'll then. See. Then you end up looking more like me, and then we'll really be like twins.
So I'll go ahead and jump in. You mentioned a few times wanting to do. Or not wanting to, doing things the hard way. I'm curious of an instance where that kind of bit you in the butt, where you realized, okay, maybe they're making this too hard on myself. I need to like roll it back a bit.
to tell you the truth, yeah, I think it bites me in the butt almost every project. So I haven't really figured out how to speed up my process. And honestly, if anybody has any advice on how, man, like, cause my process is just long. Like I sketch it, then I ink it, then I scan it into the computer and I ink it second on the computer to try to get the same look as the brush without having a lot of the splatter looking.
Right.
Like,
huh?
Ink just goes everywhere, man. So if anybody has any like advice on that, that would be just killer.
Well, that's the beauty of being in something like our Discord channel. We have a our podcast family is full of professional, full-time freelance people, professional creatives all over the world who do this kind of stuff and have answers for you on techniques and things. So hop in there. You'll get a plethora of answers.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know, I think it's fine. Like, I mean, it's so funny how things move and change and shift because, so you made the comment much earlier in the show about how like illustration was the cheap and the easier way out than photography. And then now it's majorly flipped. Thanks, Getty Images. Now photography is the easy thing and illustration is the expensive thing. But it always seems, even if it takes time for people to come around, because maybe people's understanding has to catch up to it, but it seems like the thing that is kind of raw and real and intentional and true to form, at some point eventually gains understanding. And at some point people come around to it and then it is, you know, from, whether it's understanding or money or whatever, it is appreciated, but it is funny how this is such a dumb comparison, but I think of that knife show, that like knife making show that's on like the History Channel or whatever right now, like the Forge thing,
Blades of Glory.
Who cares about knife making? And all of a sudden, like it's this really important, you know, that how awesome is it that these people are staying true to form? So and the point is, one day you'll be thought of the way that these knife makers are. I mean, hopefully the point is people will come around eventually. Like the understanding will happen eventually, even if it hasn't yet. And then you will be able to justify spending way too much time on every project.
Yes. I fully agree with you. And that's why I don't care. Like, I'm just like, I just want to make it cool. So I fully agree that people will definitely come around because you just like, first of all, I have some like the best clients ever who, when they get me, they're a lot of them are just like, hey man, just do what you do. And
yeah,
you know, you can't beat that. And you don't want to say no, just because of like, they might just not have the full budget. Like sure. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want to always go down on budget, but like if somebody's like, man, just do whatever you want to do, then it's like, okay, that's justifiable, you know?
Right.
Sure.
Okay. So my final question goes back to just the handmade stuff and just the idea of, because I mean, you are kind of a handmade do-it-yourself evangelist, and I feel the same way. There's just something about making things with your hands that's just different than digital. And so how does that translate into the rest of your life? Are you like also like a woodworker, or do you do like other things?
Artisan toilet paper.
Or is it like when you're not like spending all your time making for work, are you then just consuming digital content and not doing anything like maker centric?
Yeah, good question. My mind definitely needs a break. Like, there was a time where I used to, this is a little weird, but I used to refurbish axes.
Yeah,
and that sounds about right.
And it just brought me so much pleasure. I just loved it. I would sit outside, smoke a good cigar, and just like make a cool axe, right?
Yeah.
But the more I'm getting into illustration, the more the less time I have to do those things, mm-hmm. and the more time I need to spend. Like I guess any time that I'm not making with illustration, now I'm kind of spending with my family,
yep.
like my wife and my son. Yeah. So I kind of had to get rid of a lot of those other sure. loves.
Makes sense.
Yeah. That does make sense. Prioritization. All yeah. right. So tell everybody where they can find you. They can support you. They can follow you. They can give you money to have fun and cool things.
Yeah. So follow me on Instagram at Brick Illustration. And everything should be right there for you.
Brick Illustration.
I will say that if you look up Ben Brick, you'll get the song Brick by Ben Foltz.
Yes.
Yeah. So you got to at least throw in like one other word.
Yeah, like Ben Brick Illustration or yes. Ben Brick North Dakota.
Yeah.
Or
cover art Brick by Ben Foltz illustrated.
Yeah. Or mof1podcast.com, find the show notes and just click on it.
There you go.
Perfect.
Very, very simple. Because all of this stuff will be in there. All of your contact stuff will be in there. Man, this has been a blast. I've super enjoyed having you on. You are now part of the podcast family. And that means you're stuck with us for life, my friend.
We're not friends. We're family.
We're not friends. We're family. But go check out all of Ben's stuff. Buy some of his really cool stuff. Get on board with the postcard project. And if you are an artist who wants to maybe start something up with Ben, hit him up and let him know that you heard about the postcards and you want to be a part of it. And who knows where that could go. Several people have connected because of the show and are now doing incredibly cool, fun collaborations all over the world. And who knows where this could go. But man, go find all the show notes and links at mof1podcast.com. You can, while you're there, you can join the Discord family, join the family where we're talking day in and day out. You know what I just realized? Because Luke so lovingly tapped me on the shoulder. We have to do tokens. I was getting us out of here, but we need tokens. So before we get out of here, would you help us draw tokens?
Yes, of course.
Perfect. All right. I didn't want to deprive you of that. I was I'm a little rusty. I've been out for 2 weeks. So, all right. Forget everything I just said. Up next, tokens. The tokens portion of the show is when we get to find out our categories for next week, and we pick our topics based on those categories. It couldn't be simpler. Ben, since you're here and you have so willingly agreed to choose, I've got the three tokens in my hand. 1, 2, 3. I'm going to put them face down on my desk, shuffle them up. You give me a number between 1 and 3. You'll be picking for me.
2.
I got art and design. Thanks, buddy.
Yeah, you're welcome.
And then 1 or 2, and you'll be picking for Patrick.
1.
TV and film, toys and games.
You did it.
Dang. See, I'm
you're
good
quickly
at this.
Becoming you're one of our it. Very favorite people. Killing just it. I'm putting that yes. out there.
Ben, Ben. Sicario or Uncle Drew?
Oh, Sicario.
Okay.
I don't know what either.
It's what I'm talking about next week. I'm ready now. Go ahead,
okay.
Andrew.
Cool.
All right. Good. I'm glad we so stay tuned. You got that to look forward to. All right, so I think that's going to be it. I already started doing the outro, so remember all that stuff? That all is true. Be a patron. Go to patreon.com/mof1podcast where you can help us out financially. You can support the show for free by rating, reviewing, subscribing, liking, commenting, sharing, all the things that happen on the internet. Do those internet-y type things on our internet type thing, and that helps all of our internet be better. That's how that works, right? That's the whole point.
Yeah, it fixes the internet.
Sharing.
Yep.
Yeah. So do all of that, and it supports the show so much. You can find us on M of One Podcast on all the different platforms. Am I missing anything? Probably. If you take half
us.
Of what I said before and the other half now, I think you've made an entire outro. So we're going to get out of here. I'm Andrew.
I'm Patrick.
I'm Luke.
I'm Ben.
Peace out.
Bye.
Hold on to your butts.
Eat more Pop-Tarts.